show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So let us speak of atmospheric inaugural magic. We just outside D.C., but each moment, each competency has been a deep sigh of relief that we can relax into effective dedication, right? We honor our progressive, we are all progressive team, right, for critique, yes, but also honor the magic. We saw the murderous mob assaulting the Capitol was a curious blend of Duck Dynasty meets life coaching, right, tantrum yoga. We go, no, that's the demonic version. We want progressive magic. There we go. So to do that, we welcome the return of collegial green wizard Jerome McGeorge, that we may delve into the guiding narrative of now, participatory. Democracy is participatory. Participatory astro-mythology democracy of ongoing inauguration. The necessary magic that comes in dangerous times has been called in. Now we tease its pertinence into the gargantuan tasks ahead. So Jerome McGeorge, a recent guest and on again, is an ally of richly cultivated playful erudition. He's a founding member of Coulee Region Organic Produce Pool, the cooperative that owns the Organic Valley brand. Welcome, Jerome.
Oh, welcome, Carolyn, and to all the creative social artists listening in.
Yes.
And I really would underscore your introduction to this inauguration glow, that it is to be interpreted as a time of spirit rebirth, and very much emphasizing indications from the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction on the winter solstice just passed, and that... As a focus on spirit rebirth and what that might mean, that is part of this inauguration glow that I am feeling.
Right. No, I just want to bring in a few little things here. The twilight ritual on January 19th, twilight is Celtic magic. It is neither night nor day. It's the place between the worlds. It's the place when the dead are most present. The twilight ritual to honor the 400,000 dead of Corona, toxic kingship, with 400 lights at the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial was for real. It was a real ritual. First, it was short, which is a crucial ingredient for any good ritual. And then it was powerful twilight ritual Celtic magic to honor, grieve, and lament the dead. Also very New Orleans. I'll go into where I have been impatient with some of our progressive team and some of our astrological team as well, going, oh, doom and gloom, we go, no, this is participatory animism. So as you mentioned to me backstage earlier, you know, you had the birthday for fantastic Amanda Gorman, and inaugurate is really to the augur, the diviner within all of us goes out into nature, right? And then calls in qualities of leadership that are greater than the befoibled human, right? We're all befoibled, calling it in. And Amanda Gorman called it in, right?
Oh, I so agree that for me, it struck the chords of two sources I have of positive movement in the now. And one of those is more women in leadership, and the second is more voices of the young. She, Amanda Gorman, so combines those two virtues, those two themes, and there were four lines that particularly struck with me. An identity line: I am descended from slaves and raised by a single mother. And she goes on later, the loss we carry, a sea we must wade.
Yes.
She then, and so to the inauguration glow, that she has a line, a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. She, in a fourth line, and the end of the quotes from me, the intersectionality of my identity. And she is quite a transpersonal, triple Aquarian, triple Piscean, and someone who is here for all of us and seems in a ahead of her times, an old soul manner, alive and doing her work.
Yes, and there is tremendous symmetry. You know, Malala, our wonderful, wonderful, brave hero out there in the world, did tweet those the last two lines, "For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it." I go, right. And in Amanda Gorman's chart, calling it in, and as you say, you know, the inaugural chart, I mean, I have the scheduled one, but the on time one, whoops, I have it right in some important place. It's in some important place. Oh, yeah, here it is, right in front of me, which was 11:52 a.m., has marvelous symmetry. What we're looking for is right in front of us. But today, right now, the sun is at 2 plus Aquarius, whose great image is a deserter from the Navy following their own wilderness path. And when Amanda Gorman was born, her Venus is that, right next to Neptune, which is a sudden thunderstorm brings relief to parched fields, and it has a little semi-square to her son, and the image for her son is a gigantic tent. Villagers witness a spectacular performance. This was real magic. This was real calling it in. She's the youngest poet laureate to read, you know, and Biden is the oldest to be elected. But I also want to honor, you know, for the astrologers, a marvelous symmetry. So for many in my different trickster election magic councils, we began on October 13th when Mercury stationed at 11 plus Scorpio, whose image is the Renaissance court, the meeting of the best and brightest, not by snootiness, but by dedication to collective well-being. And then Mercury retrograded, stationed on election day, and then went forward and emerged from its shadow, was back at 11 plus Scorpio on November 19th, which is the Gettysburg Address and Joe Biden's solar return, and Venus was on Pamela Harris's sun. And then at the actual inauguration, which was at 11:52 a.m., the descendant was 11 Scorpio. There it is again, a little wink from Mercury, and it's like, oh, symmetry. There's so much larger than us befoibled humans, which is why I get a skosh impatient with the progressive team, part of all of us, that's like, no, nothing will change. It's like, there's more at work. That's one true thing. That is the mirror. We honor holding up the mirror, going, look, it's terrible, and troops in Iraq, and but then we wave our hand and turn the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be, you know, and then turn it into a door, let's go. There's been a lot, the canceling of the XL pipeline, the restoration possibly of bear's ears and national parks, the forbidding of drilling in the Arctic. It goes on and on. It's like, man, these guys are organized, this part of our collective. So I just wanted to speak to, well, as our conversation unfolds, because, you know, before what was out there as what was passing as astrological whatever was like, oh, terrible assassinations and things, and I go, that is just cheesy and cheap, and you don't need astrology to do that. Participatory. And the ritual at the And the mall looked great, the lighting. And then just in terms of atmospheric magic, the lighting was good. There was something truly being called in, like, whew. And then, you know, the virtual parade was pretty darn okay, good, you know, music. And then the fireworks at the end, I don't like fireworks. I don't like the militaristic aspect of them. I've only seen, you know, one good fireworks before, but it was beautiful. And it all the smoke and beautiful colors and glory, it completely smudged the mall, the White House, the Capitol. And it was like, oh. And everyone was like, okay, now real work begins. The gargantuan task before this administration, but before us all, absolutely. So we critique, but we don't snark. Because what I've been saying to, trying not to get snarky about people being snarky, it's such a tricky thing, you know. But I go, snark is the energetic equivalent of running on tar sands, right? It's just gummy, just anyway, I just want to put that there, put that to one side, there we go, and on we go into the positive dynamic, you know, which is, so the magic's been called in, and it really was, like, you know, and even just seeing a competent press secretary was like, oh my God, you know, and David Kressler, he's a, I know, these are competent people being brought in, so it's like, okay, now to work, absolutely, it's not like rest, and it's not like, you know, abandon Obama to his corporate thing, you know, it's like we kind of let them go, and we're not going to let these guys go, but neither assault them. And I want to hand it back to you on women, because the moon in Aries, and astrologers are going, oh, the moon in Aries, it's like, it's women leadership, you Tyro betrayers of your craft. God, you know, and the moon quintiled Mercury, right? So even before the event, I was like, this is where woofy women, you know, are rising in to have a powerful voice. And I didn't even know about Amanda then. And it's like, whew, there isn't an embodiment, but may it be in all of us. Yeah. So, woofy women, right? And then, and her so resonant with the times, the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction on her Venus-Neptune, that she's in accord with the dance. That was just so powerfully beautiful. Yeah.
Carolyn, I would only add to your discussion of the inspiring inaugural that at the scene of the mall at the Lincoln Memorial, Biden gave a speech that was resonant with echoes and had its own auditory magic. It was another part of this days that we're in. And I would add a sub-theme astrologically to the inauguration chart, to a time we're very much in as we speak at the moment and for the next few days, the Venus sextile Neptune. And it is part of this atmosphere, this lightning that we're feeling. And Venus sextile Neptune can be such an indicator of more active imagination, empathy that is really manifest for some, dream life. And I love the Venus-Neptune for me, so the classic romantic attitude. I am connected to everything. And my creativity is co-creativity. And Venus sextile Neptune, well, some were to just reverse Tarnas's title, Psyche and Cosmos. And it is a time of ease of relationship. And I love it. Isabel Hickey adds a time of refinement, of the gentle, and the magic of music.
That is so great. You just brought up Isabel Hickey, my old mentor, crabby, impossible person that she was, but carrier of the torch. So many people who were, you know, lovable, authentic, you know, deemed by others cranks, you know, carried the torch. I studied with her for some years in Boston, and that's kind of perfect because right now Saturn's image is the Council of Ancestors. Young leader listens to their voices, so that's assembled. But what you said about Venus sextiling Neptune and Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, they are conjoined exactly right now overhead, yes, in Berkeley. Hi there. And they do sextile Venus and Capricorn, the beautiful and the useful, the beautiful and the useful in accord. And that's in the inauguration, that's here for us now, that's unfolding and available in perpetuity. And it says, so dedication to the earth is eager to incarnate into molecular actuality. Go, right. Right, there's, you know, so yeah, we critique the bad, but we then go in here, over here, this is good. We encourage the good, right? So it absolutely is a pragmatic, mystic, beautiful, and inviting us to invite in. It's why, you know, just to go back and then I'll compost it forever, I hope. But You know, someone on Facebook, bless their heart, because they took my critique really well, and that's just the best. When you cross the line and are a little bit like, uh-oh, and the person takes it and goes, no, and I go, that's the best. But someone had asked this person about the inauguration. She was like, oh, assassinations, earthquakes, you know, and I go, no. Oh. You know, and like with QAnon, there's got to be some kernel of useful truth in there. But I did go forth then going participatory. You know, it's true there's a Mars-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. I love that. But people are like, oh, explosive, volatile. And it's like, that's Dementor descriptive. That's disaster astrology against the stars. What's the considering? You know, its image is woman of the Samaria at the healing well. We go, healing cross-cultural encounters around water. And we go, and it's setting the template for the next 20 years. And, you know, even Bill McKibben says this is the most advanced enviro climate resolving cabinet ever. And he hardly likes anything. I mean, he's gotten to his window and his door for sure, you know, mirror window door. And in Saturn at the moment was at the restoring a lost condition of spirituality. And Mercury was that weary fire responders finally succeed in quelling a dangerous force, mass collective effort on behalf of collective well-being. Well, that's what we're inaugurating, you know.
Yes.
You know, and it's all in play, yeah?
Well, aren't we wanting to move towards more ecological and social harmony, and yet in a mass consciousness perspective, we are not ready yet, perhaps in the sense of a critical mass. But what you are saying is, yes, we are preparing to, we're preparing in terms of a spiritual rebirth and a revolution in our political, in our economic and ecological thinking.
Yes, and I am going to get to that crucial book, right? Remind me of the book you are reading that you love so much, The Ministry of the Future, is that it?
I love the preposition, Carolyn. It's The Ministry for the Future.
Oh, okay,
and,
good.
You would almost say Amanda Gorman would be, even at her young age, a real poet for The Ministry for the Future.
Right, yeah, no, that's next on my reading list. Everybody loves this book with some critique, but really really loves it. And we go right, and that's also for all of us the awakened imagination. Everything out there in the world is in us, and I do so love astrology as an exquisite language of our interior psyche and its connection by a thin membrane we call identity from the whole vast pulsing conversation. So everything out there is staged in our lives in some form, you know, to dedicate to the desirable vision. There's a lot of available energy for that. And when people were emailing me going, oh, beforehand, going, oh, the astrologers are saying it's terrible, and what's terrible? And I go, now, are we not pragmatic mystics? You know, oh, I'm just frightened at home. I'm like, no, you are poets and metaphorists. Pull out a map of D.C. and put some cornmeal on it, for goodness sake, or some honey to sweeten the atmosphere. Just play, engage, and you'll feel better, right? And just in a quirky way, I did map magic with a policewoman who was the FBI liaison from the Park Service during Obama's first inauguration, and we had a quirky connection, and she called me up and said, "Oh, there's so many death threats, you know." And I go, "Map magic time." She's like, "Yes, yes." So we did. We pulled out a map of D.C. right, and all these death threats. And I go, "Well, cornmeal surrounds them, and over here." And then she said, "But I'm so worried about the mob at the concert. All it takes is somebody pulling out a gun, and the whole thing will go nuts." And I said, "Let's invite you and everyone to see the people, not as a mob to be managed, but as citizen allies with whom to cooperate." And she's like, okay. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. We're not claiming causality or status or anything, but just so many ways to participate in our own quirky way. You know, experiment, says Jornes. Try stuff. You know, especially now. Try that. Try this different thinking. Try this different. You know. So, yeah, and. Yeah, and I guess just the competence, and I feel that that humans, citizens, let us not be deprived of a sigh of relief before people come in going, no, he's not going to change anything. It's like just a sigh of relief in that we may be ever more effective. Going, come on, there we go.
Well, an attitude I would add to your thoughts, Carolyn. I am grateful for unknown gifts already on their way. And perhaps we could add, I am grateful for unknown problems, which can become gifts already on their way.
That's great. Well, it's like all the teachings from many things, even the wonderful movie Life is Beautiful. The trickster, when disappointed or running into some terrible aspect of tyranny, wastes no time in disappointment. Just, what's the next opportunity? What's the next thing? So just as you say, you know, every Saturn adversity, an incentive to experiment with some deeper kinship. In the Tuesday election magic council I was convening from October 13th through, I guess we ended at the winter solstice, but sort of telepathically. But we were all invited to find a place in nature that we loved, and that's where we voted. That Taurus animism brought into the Aquarius realm. And so each one of us all across the nation, you know, had a place that we would talk to and feed and form a pact with. So I had my sycamore tree, and I went to go, you know, when I was feeling queasy too. Well, we were all feeling queasy, like what could happen, you know, and feeling that it's a made-for-TV movie, and in a made-for-TV movie, something awful's going to happen. But I went to go be with the tree, and it's like, oh, there, good, there's the tree. So this is ongoing, really, for all of us to partner with what we love. And I think that's the Taurus Aquarius theme that is unfolding before us, that is certainly a huge assignment for this whole year, right? I'm tossing it to you. Perhaps.
The air is also full of Aquarius, and we are in a real concentration of Aquarian energy today as we speak, and that a quote from your text about Saturn and Uranus, that Saturn is the traditionalist and Uranus is the innovator. And in Aquarius, both are emphasized. Both are said to be in co-rulership, as you know. And yet today, as we speak, Saturn is in a square with Uranus. And yet that is exactly referential to the quote I just gave, including from a problematic. I am grateful for problems already on their way. As a spirit, I think, appropriate to Saturn square Uranus as they are now from Aquarius to Taurus.
So I view the squares as an assignment to get illusorily estranged principles to dance together in us and in the world. And they've been estranged by a mean trick of the reality police to render good-hearted people less than effective. So it's you know, activism plus animism, you know, animism, activism from which arises citizen trickster, bodhisattva coyote emerges from this thing. They need each other, you know, that play. And so, yeah, the Durant's history of the world is it doesn't say Saturn Uranus, but it's like structure is structure, Saturn, structure, structure, too much structure, revolution, revolution, ooh, too much instability, not paying the bills, structure, structure, you know. And so the idea is to come into the center. Even the history of Pacifica Radio is like structure, structure, too stodgy, you know, Uranus, Uranus, innovation, up, no, completely crazy, back it. We want to get to the steady, like standing on one foot. It's a dynamic, you know, that stability and movement are really partners. Like, to be stable, you got to move.
A quote from your text, Carolyn: stability requires progressive change. And that is so a truth of this moment. And it is a truth of the current discussion of the qualities of Saturn and Uranus, which we must synthesize, not see as at war with one another. And right, indeed, we are struggling for ecological and socially harmonious paths ahead, where the two bundles of archetype that is the planet Saturn astrologically and astrological Uranus, that the it's really an ancient dialectic lasting through the centuries. The traditionalists who questions change, perhaps change is reflexively bad, and the innovator that understands that change is necessary. And we're not at any change. Saturn teaches to me that change is ceaseless. Uranus changes, teaches me that change can be very sudden.
Hmm. Well, you know, the within us all, we are disciplined wild people, which of course is not really.
That too. Disciplined wild people, indeed. The same
right.
Synthesis that we're falling short of.
Until now.
Or exactly, Carolyn.
We have been. But again, we, you know, all human problems, let's turn to nature for the solutions. You know, disciplined wildness, not a contradiction in nature. Nature's incredible, wild nature is incredibly disciplined. You know, what we call, you know, Girls Gone Wild, cheesy, horrible TV show a long time ago. But that was like, no, that's just girls gone silly and toxic. Disciplined wildness, wolves, very disciplined, you know. And just yeah. as something we know, no other species on this planet would outsource its Saturn leadership to someone, some being who did not care about the well-being of the pack. No other species. No other species. Okay, so disciplined wildness is a good thing to aspire to, right? And to go right. Nature has disciplined wildness, and it is the function of the heretic within us all, right? It's a very Uranus thing. The term of, you know, was honored before there was a priesthood, and the function of the heretic is to have one foot outside the society, right? To, you know, be a cross-pollinating agent, going, here I've come back, and here's poetry from 8 centuries ago, and a custom from these other people, you know, not so much innovation as to destabilize and frighten the community, right? But not so little that it gets rigid and therefore vulnerable, right? So there's that. We're going to have a short break, a little longer break music, but I think it's wonderful. And hang in there, Jerome. It's Ray Charles singing America, and it's
all right.
Just the best version of America. And, you know, for all of us to engage in the atmospheric magic when people were frightened. Yesterday, that before the inauguration, I go, just play this and waft it out into the memosphere, right? Just waft it out into the memosphere. So here we go, our break music, honoring Ray Charles singing America.
beautiful. Rock heroes through in liberating strife. Who more than self? Their country love and mercy morning light. What I'm saying about tonight is this America, sweet America. The nobleness and everything divine. And you know, when I was a little boy, I remember we always sang these words. Oh, beautiful. The skies from and the winds of rain, my purple mountains. Well, don't you remember? Civic brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And you know, y'all can just hum a little bit longer when it's all right.
That's Ray Charles bringing it in along with Amanda Gorman. This is Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show, mid-break. That was our long break for atmospheric magic. Let us not, you know, cringe away from beauty. Let's embrace beauty. So America was written by a gay woman recovering from depression while she was hiking on Pike's Peak. And the lyrics are very... There's a lot of them. You can go search and find a lot of them. Some a little, you know, questionable, but some really great. And I just want to go back with you, Jerome McGeorge, our wonderful ally guest, to Amanda Gorman, because there's so much in all stories lead us to all stories, but now to be herself Pisces, right, which is, you know, a strong sense of destiny, who had a speech impediment like Biden as well. And she what you said, she welcomed it as an incentive to experiment and become ever more eloquent. We go, oh, that's really great. But her Jupiter, when she was born, its image is a woman with a trumpet calling in a new tide of cultural energy. It's like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it squares Pluto, right? And that's why I go to ancestor Jim Lewis, who said, look at Jupiter Pluto, incredible for publicity. And I thought that was cheesy. But it is, here's what she did, you know, and it's really great to see people doing their weird part of all of us resonating. May we all do that. But so he said Jupiter, Pluto. And so Jupiter is storytelling. Pluto is death and rebirth. What gets us through? And its totem is the phoenix. And before the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn, it sings this hauntingly beautiful song. And all of creation listens and is reminded of what's really important, you know, beauty and kindness and mutual aid. Then the phoenix bursts into flames and is reborn. And she did it. She did it. And she knows she said she's running for president. She's got a deep dedication. How wonderful to have such teammates, yeah?
And she, so in that spirit, the higher mind vibrations of Aquarius and the higher love vibration of Pisces, both so abundant in her love wisdom potential chart. It's quite extraordinary. And of course, she, like Greta Thunberg, a communicator extraordinaire with voice at a very young age. It is beautiful.
Yes, no, and we love Greta Thunberg, just so wonderful, and I loved Greta's tweet to, well, I won't mention his name because we don't need to anymore, but it was very witty, it was very witty. She just sent back to Voldemort what he had sent to her going, I see him having a happy life, I hope he lightened, and it was very, very witty. She's 800,000 planets in Capricorn, wonderful ally, but that's really, you know, super great. So yeah, and then that realm of, you know, absolutely, you know, the poem and her life and the event and the thing, it was critique, very important. We don't, that's part one always, and then the vision, and then the door, and she really did that, you know. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. And yet the dawn is ours. Before we knew it, somehow we do it. You know, somehow, this is quoted a lot. Yeah. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. That's very generous.
That is so the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, we the successor.
We are unfinished, Carolyn.
Yeah.
And we, of course, are wondering, with the wonderful start and quite elevated approval rating at the moment, Biden is making a beautiful beginning. Both the ritual and the message and the actions in his first afternoon in office are all hopeful of us taking up the unfinished business, and that we are preparing for a transition to, certainly, once again, to emphasize ecological and social harmony so necessary at this moment. And that I would certainly observe from Biden's chart that he has a lot more willpower, as well as his obvious intelligence, than is obvious. And his abundant emotional qualities, he has four planets in Scorpio, and also a very exalted Jupiter in Cancer, that he is a thinking and a feeling person. He has been a prodigy, and he has had some Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall moments. And I think
yes,
there is a virtue in humility that is a quality of Biden, and with four planets, all four of the Scorpio on the 12th, Joe, emotional and extroverted, still, there's a lot of hidden qualities to Mr. Biden. And then, of course, his part, I was just going to observe, Carolyn, that between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, all the signs are in emphasis, save Capricorn, and they should make a very powerful team. And of course, Kamala Harris, born 20 October 1964, is one of those extraordinary Uranus conjunct Jupiter souls that were so awakener and transformer energies, and that we've been speaking about a young prodigy, Amanda Gorman, that Kamala Harris is a quite special, bright, serious human being and a creative. Would you agree?
I do, and it took, it was a journey to get there, and I can hear some of our progressive audience starting to grump, neoliberal, and it's like, and then we want to address these things, I love my good-hearted political operative ally in a good way, good causes organized, Patricia Ewing, and I was talking about the shadow of progressiveness, grumpitude, and she goes, you know, progressives, all of us, should take more credit, you know, because Joe Biden was a neoliberal cop, you know, and maybe Kamala Harris was too, and she says, but that was before the primaries, and that was before the Bernie conversings, and that was before the whatever, and that was before the pandemic, and all of these things, you know, yes, he's done terrible things, but here we are, you know, to draw upon everybody transformed by the enormity of the chaos and the climate crisis, which was held as you know, was specifically held, you know, white supremacy and the climate crisis, and these were all put on our work table, and that, you know, that the canceling of the XL pipeline and the rejoining of the Paris Accords and many things. Yeah, I was so impressed, you know, with there he is, 78, you know, getting up, doing the thing, enduring the journey to get there. And it reminded me of Eddie Izzard's wonderful commentary about evil. Evil's so busy, their schedule looks like death, death, lunch, death, death, tea, death, death, dinner. We can hardly get down to the gym, right? But these beings are, you know, they're down to the gym at 5, you know, and then it's like, whew, and then 17 worthy, you know, presidential, you know, edicts going, well, liberating, restoring environmental regulations, pretty much dedicated to the Commonwealth. And yes, there's many things, you know, somebody on Twitter feed is like, oh, but he wants to send more troops into Iraq. And we go, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. All right. Well, we're on it. We're not going to do what we did with Obama. Like, oh, just relax. Right. No, this, but partner. And I would like to suggest churlishness into the cauldron, because that belongs to the last regime. And, you know, a fierce, a disciplined, wild willingness to play and to tease out the best. But we've got quite a lot here to work with anyway. But so yeah, and then at 7 p.m. there was a press conference, right? And people were like, oh my God, she's really competent. That's a relief. You know, and competent people, and then he installed 1,000 appointees. We hope they're good. We think they probably are. You know, whatever, and you know, just rocking, and then finished with the. You know, it was busy. It was like I was just, you know, home, going, this is impressive. But for all of us, you know, that's really the deal. What are we inaugurating? You know, it's like there's humans, right? But it's the spirit that was called in, you know, reading reading and rereading, you know, Amanda Gorman's poem is a template, you know, for next 20 years, next 4 years, whatever. It's a contributing part, right? You know, and we are striving to forge a union with purpose to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. No. And it was Jill Biden who asked, you know, Amanda Gorman, because Jill Biden had been, you know, a fan of Amanda Gorman's work for some years. And we go, imagine.
Indeed, imagine.
Imagine, you know, a wonderful human. I won't back down on Jill Biden. People can go, Biden, you know, yes, he did something. Okay, but Jill Biden, you know, who's going to keep teaching school, right? And we go, and who's really been dedicated, and who is, you know, the partnership, the equal partnership with Joe. He would not be where he is without her disciplined, wild, dedicated, loving self on the lookout for the likes of Amanda Gorman. We go,
well, and this is an administration so full of more women in leadership and more diversity. So hard.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to run over you. What were you going to say?
Well, I am also on this theme of today and the Aquarian vibration, but that Kamala is a Saturn in Aquarius, trine her son. So not only is she in the extraordinary outer planet Uranus conjunct Pluto in Virgo at her birth, but she is also a sun trine Saturn. And that is so much the serious thinker, the systems and pattern intelligence that Kamala Harris, and she, like Joe, are both, in part of their beingness, centrists, what I would call true believers. Joe is a definite patriot, a definite Catholic thinker and participant, and yet he is responding to these extraordinary times, and he is trying to link up the traditional and the innovative. Kamala is a creative force, another serious thinker, and that they want to lead us into an emphasis on climate change, as you mentioned earlier, that is absolutely essential. Our rejoining the Paris Accord is great meaning symbolically and ecologically.
And the Saturn that you mentioned, hers, is a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis, emerging into fuller existence, coming out of dormancy or some hidden condition, deaths and rebirths, right? And that's overhead, you know, we go leadership, you know, inaugurating comes from the augur, right? So it's for all of us, you know, to define what it is to be a good citizen and to call in to these parts of ourselves, right? And, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, and I know, you know, people were grumpy and I used to be grumpy, but I'm into support now. I really am. You know, she's a full moon Libra dragon, like me, but you know her moon in Aries, right? And the moon was right on her moon within a degree when at the inauguration moment, and it's a large audience for a woman who liberates them from their expectations. So let us be savvy, and let us be Jamaican in the sense of, you know, always interested in how are we being played, but with the full Rasta Jamaican, to be interested in how are we being played with a kind heart, one love. Yeah, man. That's the unexpected, artful medicine, right? And I do, you know, there's a lot to work with, and there's that dynamic, and then just keep going back to and wherever you want to go, but we close the divide. This is Amanda again. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true, that even as we grieved, we grew, that even as we hurt, we hoped, that even as we tired, we tried, that we'll forever be tied together victorious, not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. I love that. That's a blessing prayer for us all to spiral out, you know, and something we can see. Everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Yeah, exactly.
I would point out, Carolyn, that as sisters Kamala Harris and Amanda Gorman are both creatives, both in a personal sense, but as social artists, and both have the social idealism. And in fact, what is a process of discovery? How is our art social? There is art in our lives because life is our art. But what is artistic social expressions? Or indeed, as I greeted our audience, all of us as co-creative social artists.
Yes, yeah, and everything's inviting, you know. Again, it's the Taurus Aquarius dynamic for each one of us humans, you know, and our rogue species to step back into the dance of participatory kinship and biomimicry and all of these things that, you know, and to compost, you know, the sneaky remnants of the Inquisition that we may have internalized, you know, where we squinch, or where the animistic part of us might go. Yeah, it I think it really is permission. I've talked to a lot of, you know, fairly conventional seeming people, you know, about Taurus animism and all, and I just remember one man came up. It was a workshop I was giving in Chicago a long time ago, and this was a man doing great things, philanthropist, buying distressed property in the inner city and not making people move, but inviting them to help him redesign the whole thing with, you know, cul-de-sacs and spirals, and he came up afterwards and he goes, I'm a very conventional man. I am a Taurus. And he said, but I've never told anybody this, but when I'm redesigning the houses, I always ask the tree where it wants the windows, right? I always do this, and I've never told anybody this before, but that's how I work. And I go, ollie, ollie, income free, all animists, you're safe now from mocking by Harvard snarky people. No, they'll still mock, but who cares? You know, yes, the tyranny of conventionality, even unto the political life, like, we go, no. So not only what is it to be a good citizen, what is it to be a good planetary citizen that our society, that our rogue species can step back into partnering with nature's guiding genius as opposed to, you know, suppressing. So we have a little breathing moment here, you know, where the jackboot of industrialism has been lifted an inch off of the pulse of the jugular of nature, going, but we know that nature is so vital, you know, that it just needs a little to come back, right? And that's where we really want to partner, and each one of us, you know, it doesn't matter astrology, schmastrology, you know, it's not something to believe in. In fact, I think believe nothing. I quote my believe nothing, entertain possibilities, because when we believe something, we've outsourced our Saturn, and then it's just a short step to QAnon. So just letting it waft in, but more importantly, it's only important what resonates in each one of us as authentic or useful or true. You know, it's a time to inaugurate our own lives, to invite in qualities of strength that we would want, and to dedicate to what we love, whatever that be, you know, and to become more like it, you know, to protect wolves, become more like wolves, to protect water, adopt the strategy of water, and so on. But anyway, I'm so glad you could come astro mytho dance this powerful day, Jerome McGeorge. And is there anything, we're on our way out, but I give you the last minute or whatever you'd like to say, to a blessing perhaps.
Well, a blessing. A blessing I am prompted to say on our creative disinheriting, that we have much work ahead. The serious work is really as transforming our consciousness and coming together in more harmony in consciousness. And some of that work is creative disinheriting as we seek to be spiritually reborn.
Yes. Ashe, maybe so. Right, that's wonderful. And it's the past we step into, and how we repair it. That's so wonderful. Anyway, thank you so much, Jerome McGeorge. Wonderful. I'm Caroline Casey. You can find out more at coyotenetworknews.com. We will reconvene next week. And thanks always to Kirsten Thomas, who is most skookum, board up teammate. So thanks again, Jerome McGeorge. We will speak again backstage undoubtedly pretty soon. Woof, woof, woof.
Why don't you all? Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.